During COVID, I noticed that a lot of people came to market early with technology, and that's been really, really helpful to you. What have been some of the things that have really helped you in your practices?
Dental monitoring would be, if I put you in braces, then I give you a dental monitoring scan box, which is just a little thing that goes in your mouth, and you scan your teeth with that app, and then it says, oh yeah, your teeth are tracking, go to the next aligner. I delivered this woman's aligners, I gave her a scan box, and I haven't seen her. It's not that she hasn't come in, it's that her case is tracking and she doesn't need to come in.
Welcome back to another episode of Dental Marketing Go. I'm your host, Gary Bird. I'm the founder of SMC National, where we help you create, convert, and close more new patients so you can grow the way that you want. And today, I have a special episode, Dr. Larry, who's the president and founder of My Orthodontist, 14 locations in North Carolina, and he's going to share the things that he's gotten right and has helped him grow, some things that have held him back, as well as Smile Direct Club and how that's impacted ortho and what he would have done differently. You're going to want to stay tuned for this one. All right, we are live, and I'm excited about this one because I have Dr. Larry here, and I'll share the story how we met. So during COVID, everybody was shut down, and he's a very, very successful orthodontist in North Carolina, has 14 practices now out there, and he does an amazing job, has an amazing culture, amazing team. And they, when he was shut down, we were talking like every day. And so I was shut down too. So we were like, what kind of he was like actually kind of excited. It was a lot of people were panicking. He was like, what kind of marketing do you think would work right now? And I'm like, I don't know. I've never been through a pandemic before. Do you want to test some things out? So we were like literally just playing around with marketing, testing things. And thankfully, COVID didn't stick around, and he came out of COVID, and he came out stronger than ever before. And I'm so excited to talk to him today because it's been a couple years since we've chatted. And I want to start this conversation, Dr. Larry, with one question for you. What is the number one thing that's helping you grow right now in the ortho space?
You know, I this sounds trite, Gary, but I would say that the one thing is my team. Over the years, I've struggled to get the right people in the right seats, and I've bounced back and forth from, you know, grabbing the bull by the horns to trying to be hands off and let people do their thing. And we have a fantastic support crew right now that really they're clicking on all cylinders. We had a little L10 meeting this morning, and I said, you know, guys, I don't have anything for the issues list because you guys are doing such a great job. I'm starting to get picky about stupid stuff.
Yeah, like, oh no, there was a piece of paper on the lobby when we walked
exactly.
in. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, that's really, really good. And so I know this has been a process for you. It's not something that happens overnight. So how have you been able, or what did you learn? What did you have to learn to be able to keep and attract the right kind of team?
Yeah. You know, I have always said this is a family-run business, and that was true at the beginning. And a lot of folks that were with me in the beginning, I tried to bring them up as we grew. And we just had a great group of folks, but there were a couple of missing pieces. And, even going back to when you and I talked a few years ago, I really wanted to get really headlong more into marketing, and the team was kind of like, well, you don't want to spend money. And I'm like, no, spend the money. Right. You can remember these conversations.
Yep.
Finally, I have a full-time senior marketing manager who's just handling all of our marketing locally, boots on the ground. And then I've got a great CEO who's been with us for a little over a year who came.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know that. Yeah. That's awesome.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the show, but I want to make sure that you're going to Dykema 2024. It's July 10th through the 12th. And guess what? We are going to be speaking on the main stage, and we're going to be hosting a boot camp as well. And we want to give away some free tickets. So how do you win these free tickets? You go to smcnational.com, click the little bar that says enter to win free tickets to Dykema. And then you submit your information, and everybody's a winner. We're going to be giving a discount to everybody who enters, and we're going to be giving away some free tickets to the conference itself and to the boot camp. Make sure you sign up for these right away. Back to the show.
He's come to us from where I want to be. So he was with North American Dental, Great Lakes Dental, big DSOs. And I'm not saying I'm ever going to get that big, but he brings the experience and the expertise that I think we were lacking. And to a great extent, a lot of what we were doing was reinventing the wheel. I said, oh, we need a call center. So we created our own call center. Well, it's much more cost effective to find someone who just does call centers and say, can you support us? So
yes.
That's some of the transitions that we've gone through under his guidance. And he's just brought the whole team together. Yep.
And that's one of the really cool things about dental right now is that, 10, 15 years ago, it was almost impossible to find people like that in the dental industry because they were working for, there was basically single practice owners.
Yep.
Maybe you had a small group and then the big DSOs, and you couldn't pay those guys as much as they were making from the big DSOs.
Right.
But now you have people who've gotten experience at the big DSOs, at the mid, because you have like all these categories. You have like single practices, you have smaller groups, you have groups, you have emerging DSOs, so there's all these different people who are gathering experience that you can actually go work with and get the right person at the right time.
Yep.
And so that's really cool that you've been able to do that. What we were just talking a minute ago, and I wanted to kind of pick your brain on this,
yeah.
And that's why I hit record so quickly, is you said during COVID, I noticed that a lot of people came to market early with technology, and that's been really, really helpful to you. What are some of the things, could you kind of break that down? What did you mean by that?
Yeah.
And then what have been some of the things that have really helped you in your practices?
I think the one that comes to mind first and foremost is dental monitoring. And they were actually had come to market before COVID, but I think COVID was a real springboard for them.
And what do they do? What's dental monitoring do?
So dental monitoring would be if I put you in braces or I give you clear aligners, then I give you a dental monitoring scan box, which is just a little thing that goes in your mouth. You've got an app on your smartphone, which uses AI, and you scan your teeth with that app. And then it says, oh, yeah, your teeth are tracking. Go to the next aligner. Or your teeth are not tracking, stay in the current aligner. Or if you have braces, it'll alert the office, oh, they've got a broken wire, a broken bracket, or the wire is passive, time to bring them in for an arch wire change. Or they've done a great job wearing their elastics, they're now class 1 canine, or they've gone too far, they're class 3 canine, or whatever. So
it just monitors. Technology is monitoring, and I've heard before that this technology wasn't really ready for market. But it sounds like you're having good experiences with it.
Well, yeah, and I don't think this is confidential information, but dental monitoring is partnering with Ormco Spark, and what they are now able to do. It's not FDA approved yet. It is in Europe, and we're part of the FDA approval. Process, we're helping them out. If you do a scan at home and the app comes back, the AI says the case is not tracking, it gives the orthodontist the option of rebooting the case. And in the past, you would tell the patient to come in, you'd have to take up chair time, you'd have to do a new scan and start from ground zero. Well, what they are offering now, Spark, along with DM, is a way to take that scan and create an STL. So the patient never has to come back. In an ideal world, the patient gets a dental monitoring scan box, all of their aligners, and you see them when they're done. And that's the end of it. So I was just telling someone today, I started treatment on one of my son's teachers from his second grade teacher from 2 years ago. And she really wanted to have orthodontic treatment and she didn't think she could afford it. And I said, come on in, we'll talk. We gave her a special pricing. And then we're also doing a low, I think the biggest barrier to entry is cost. And so what we're doing is $399 or $199 down, $199 a month. And my vision is I want to be the great clips of orthodontics. I want people, to get great service, great smile and feel like it's a good return on their investment, right? That they're not breaking the bank to get their kid treated. So in any event, I delivered this woman's aligners. I gave her a scan box, and I haven't seen her. It's not that she hasn't come in. It's that her case is tracking and she doesn't need to come in. Mm-hmm. And if it's not tracking, yeah. I'll use the smart STL feature in dental monitoring to create a new STL and do a refinement in Spark. So orthodontics is the single discipline in dentistry that is most suited to teledentistry and remote treatment. And you and I kind of started down this thing, you know, where I sent you impression trays and I was going to treat mm-hmm. you remotely in California.
Yep. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Well, dental monitoring would have made that so easily done and so doable. We'll still do it if you want. You know, just go get a scan. So the model is now, I send friends and family on the West Coast to a dentist who does an intraoral scan, takes a panoramic, and then sends it to me. And then I take that scan. I do the whole clear aligner case. I mail the aligners and a dental monitoring scan box to my brother. It's my brother-in-law and sister-in-law who are in Davis. I'm treating them, you know, on the other side of the country. And it's, you can't do things like interproximal reduction. You can't put attachments on. For a while, we were playing with our own aligner system that was attachmentless. And we hadn't worked out all the bugs. There was a few patents that are pending on it, but we're still trying to manipulate the digital model the same way to minimize the number of attachments. So I haven't totally worked that out. But folks like Smile Direct, you know, who have gone belly up, and that wasn't because of anything other than their short-sightedness and their business plan was screwy. But simple cases, simple aligner cases, you don't need attachments. But you do need, which Smile Direct didn't have, you do need to do this in concert with the general dentist. You do need to consider occlusion. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to straighten the teeth. Because I think every orthodontist out there said, well, yeah, I have a Smile Direct Club patient who came in and is so angry because their front teeth are, you know, way out here. Because they didn't consider the class two bite. They just straightened those top front teeth or their lower front teeth are pounding on their upper front teeth because they didn't consider the deep bite. They're trying to align these teeth and there's no place for them to go. I mean, that was their short-sightedness. If they had just partnered with general dentists, you know, they could have done their direct to consumer stuff.
That's what I was about to ask you is what were your thoughts on how they approach things? A lot of dentists were really mad.
Yeah.
But I remember dentists were really mad at Invisalign when they first, or a lot of orthodontists were really mad at Invisalign when they first came out. Yep. But then they kind of came around because they were like, oh, this is not so bad. But now it's like, there's a lot of cost with Invisalign and there's a lot of competition now. It seems like Invisalign's still the giant, but there's like, death by a thousand cuts. Everybody I meet is like, oh, I'm starting an aligner company.
Yeah.
Because I have a 3D printer and we're just going to do it. So what are your thoughts on Smile Direct Club and like kind of the future of ortho as a whole?
So I think Smile Direct Club was catering to a market that couldn't afford dental care. So, there's a lot of people out there who can't afford dental care and they're going to pay $2,000 for a set of aligners if you finance it for them. The problem is you can't do orthodontics on people who don't have a dentist. I mean, the bottom line is you can't have periodontal disease. You don't want active decay. You got to take
care. So what was going through their mind? Like, how did they think? Because they hired orthodontists to be like part of the team and chief clinical officers.
Yeah.
So what was, because I can get it, right? Like me as a marketing guy, if you came to me and you're like, hey, Gary, we're going to try to come up with a system and work around. Sure, that sounds okay to me, but I'm not a clinician, right? Like that would be my first question is like, can you actually do this without a dentist, guys? And I wouldn't ask that question to a CEO or a CMO, or I would ask it to an orthodontist. So what had to be going through that orthodontist's mind to think that they could pull this off?
I have no earthly idea. You know, so when someone comes into our office before we start treatment, we send a letter to the dentist and say, this is what we're thinking about doing, and we would like you to bless it from the perspective that the patient's oral health is good. They've had a recent cleaning. There's no active perio disease. There's no active decay. And that's all that Smile Direct had to do was get that same letter from the patient's general, their client's general dentist. The problem was, yeah, I met a guy who had aligners in. He was the maitre d', or he was the host, or whatever, at a restaurant I went to for lunch. And I said, oh, who's doing your ortho? He goes, Smile Direct. And I'm like, really, who's your general dentist? Oh, I don't have a general dentist. Well, why not? But it's too expensive. I'm like, yeah, but you're paying $2,000, whatever it was, for your aligners. He goes, yeah, but they're financing it, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he was happy, but I don't know how his outcome was and how well it held up. And if he had bad perio disease, he was a young guy, so probably not. If he had bad perio disease, you know, his teeth would have fallen out. So it was their short-sightedness, and I really don't get it. I just don't understand, except that the market is small, right? If you're only going to treat people who have general dentists, that's a small percentage of the population.
Is that so? Okay. So then maybe they looked at it and just said, that's too small of a market.
Yeah. Yeah. But they could have done quite well. And they could have been leaders. Had they,
yeah. Cause they figured out things that other people haven't figured out, like how to do direct to consumer. Yep. Right. And Invisalign struck out on that big time. Yep. And they figured it out. Yep. And they figured out how to acquire the customer. What they didn't figure out, or they figured out too late. I noticed towards the end there, they started making adjustments and trying it, but was like, how do we send these people into a GP office and get them there and then back out? Yep. I think that just became a big barrier. That's a lot of hoops to jump through. If I'm a young kid, yep, or, you know, somebody who just wants ortho, and like you said, I don't have a lot of money. It's like, okay, so I got to come to you, and then I got to go here, and then I got to, I think they just were like, nah, it's too hard.
I think so. Two things. We should have had this conversation 4 years ago. also, all of their stuff is up for auction, out of a auction house in Tennessee.
What do you mean by that?
Well, they've had to Smile Direct is liquidating all of their equipment. So all of their scanners, all of their 3D printers, their whole assembly lines, all of their equipment is sitting in a warehouse in Tennessee, waiting to be auctioned off. And we reached out to them. And what the auctioneer wants to do is sell it in bulk to one buyer. That's their first, rather than doing piecemeal, because I wanted to pick up some scanners. And so I made a joke to my assistant medical director, let's buy it all and we'll start our own aligner company. But we started to go down that path. But when you're an individual,
how big would you have to be to buy all that? Like, how many locations would you have to have?
You know, I want to say that you would have, in terms of dollars, I think they're selling that stuff for pennies. It's like 1 or 2 million for all of their stuff. That's a lot of money. I can't write you a check for that. But I want to say, you know, Doctor by Cuspid is one of these online, what's new?
And
it came out like three days ago, maybe end of last week. This thing about the Smile Direct stuff being auctioned. So if you go back and look at that, you'll see more info. But it's a lot. I mean, they had some big manufacturing facilities. And the funny thing is that they had patented the ability to use lasers to trim the aligners when they were mass producing them, which I think was kind of dumb because those laser trimmers already existed. But so I don't know what happens now. You buy all those laser printers, trimmers they were using, and are you in violation of the patent? Who knows? But I think
yeah, the patent,
they could have come up with a way to maybe offer some kind of general dental discount plan to their potential clients to get those people into the general dentist? I don't know. I mean, I feel like if you're creative about it, you can come up with a way to fix almost any problem. And I think that that is the future of orthodontics, at least with clear aligners.
They were on the right. Yeah, they were right, they were on the right track. Yeah. They just left out some crucial portions of for success. I agree with you. Yeah. Well, this has been really, really good. Just what is your guys' website? If someone wants to kind of look you up and Google you, what's your guys' website?
Right. So it's myorthodontistnc, as in Nancy Charles, as in North Carolina, .com.
That's awesome. And then if someone's listening right now, I know you're growing and you're always adding practices and stuff, and you run an amazing organization.
Thank you.
If there's an orthodontist that's listening right now and you're looking for an opportunity to learn and grow, this is a great, great company to reach out to. And I know you guys are always looking for somebody to build with and to partner with. So awesome. Thank you. I really, really appreciate you coming on and sharing a little bit out of your story. And I can't wait to do this again with you.
Hey, are you going to be at AAO Care?
I am not. Okay. No, I'm not going. Are you going?
I'll be there. Yeah. I just, we need to get together. It's going to be in New Orleans this year.
New Orleans. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I don't plan on it, but yes, we definitely will. The next time either I'm in North Carolina or the next event that we're going to, are you going to Dykema? Have you ever been to Dykema?
No, my CEO may be going to Dykema. I am going to the ADSO in Denver, which is beginning of June, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
So you send me your calendar. I'll send you my calendar.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Bye-bye.